Acts chapter 27 is where we're going to be. If you have the King James Bible, this is actually going to be the best. Acts 27. And Paul here gives us the doctrine of women drivers. And Acts... Jackie remembers it. Acts 27, verse 15 in the King James. The last four words of the verse says this: "We let her drive." It's quite obvious that he is talking about women drivers, because if it was men, he would say, "We let him drive," but he is speaking of women drivers. You skip down to verse 17, the last four words of verse 17 says, "And so were driven." So we know that when a woman is driving and you let her drive, you will be driven. Paul says that very clearly there. Then we go to verse 27, and the last phrase in verse 27 sums up his doctrine on women drivers, where it says, "All hope that we should be saved was then taken away." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your word. We thank you for the entirety of your word, that we can look into it and we can learn and we can base our lives on it, because it's truth. When things be are in turmoil around us, we can stand on you, the rock. We can base our lives on you, because you don't change. And Lord, I thank you that you have care for each one of us. And you have care for each church. And you have set up a structure of how that church leadership should be. And this morning, as we look into your word, I pray that you would just teach our hearts, confirm in our hearts exactly how you want us as a church to function. We commit this time to you. We're so grateful for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want to do a quick review. First review is that, what are we talking about so far in this church leadership series? First Sunday, we talked about the terms of leadership. There are actually two different offices in the church. One is deacon and the other is elder. The word translated deacon literally means servant. And we found out that a deacon is an individual who meets certain character requirements and is set apart by the church in order to handle specific physical needs or physical ministries within the church body. Elders is the other office. And there are some synonymous terms in Scripture. One is overseer and the other one is shepherd or pastor. And these terms really define the role of the elder, the one who oversees or shepherds or pastors a flock. Then we looked at the qualifications of the elders and the deacons. And we saw in 1 Timothy 3:1-7, Darren brought that to us in Titus chapter 1, verses 5-9, talks about the qualifications of an elder. And then also in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8-13, it talked about the qualifications of a deacon. Last week, we looked at the functions and the roles of the elders and deacons. And we saw that the function of the deacon was to serve God by serving the church. We looked at the function or the role of an elder, and that was to, there was five different ones that were brought out, and one was to be a shepherd or an overseer of a flock. Also to give direction and wisdom in doctrinal issues. Also to guard and shepherd the flock. And for preaching and teaching, and lastly, for prayer for the church. And that brings us to where we're at today. And today we want to look at what is the biblical proof of the plurality of elders, and what are its benefits? Does Scripture really teach that there should be a group of men who are overseeing the spiritual needs of a church, or should there be one? So we're going to look at, first of all, and we're going to do a Bible study together. So get your Bibles out. We'll also have the verses up on the screen here. But we're going to look at, what does the Scripture talk about when it talks about elders? So what is the biblical proof of plurality of elders? Let's turn first to Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, verse 29 and 30 is where we first meet up with the biblical church elders. There was elders in the Old Testament. We talked about that before. There was actually elders in the New Testament before the church. But now we're talking about church elders And we see that in Acts chapter 11, verses 29 and 30. Let me read that. And in the proportion that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea. And they did this, sending it in charge of Barnabas and Saul to the elders. Okay? If you can see on the screen here, we're going to highlight the word elders. This will not be the last time that that's highlighted because it's in plural. So when they're sending this gift, they're sending it to not an elder, they're sending it to the elders, plural. Next passage, Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, verse 23. Acts 14, 23 says, "And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed." Again, we see the plural, elders. But we also see something very interesting, and that is the word church is in the singular. We have plural elders in a singular church. It's not elders in churches, it's elders in a church, in every church. This actually contradicts the teaching that many have that each church had one elder, and the term elder refers to all the elders in a city. Because here it tells us that there were elders in every church. Folks, it's important to study the Scripture as a whole, not to pick out passages or phrases out of passages, because when you do, you end up with something that is not true. You end up with a doctrine of women drivers that we started off with this morning. I'll tell you one thing right now, that what I already showed you this morning is not true. Insurance companies will tell you that's not true. Women are safer drivers than men. That's why their rates are lower. I will tell you, raising three sons, that those rates are higher. And there's a reason. There's a reason is that a male's brain is not fully developed until they're about 60. So the truth of it is we need to look at the whole of Scripture, and that's why we're doing this morning. I'm not going to pick a couple verses. I'm going to go through a lot of verses because I want all of us to be convinced of what God says about elders in a local church. So we've looked at two. Let's look at the next one, Acts chapter 15, verse 2. "And when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and some of the others should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue." Again, we see the word elders is plural. Let me make a mention of something here. It's already been stated before, is that God used the apostles to establish the church. And because God has great care for the church, and he knew that the apostles were going to go away, because apostle is somebody who has actually seen Christ physically here on earth. And John was the last apostle. In AD 90, when he passed away, there were no longer any more apostles. And so God says, for the care of the church, I'm going to establish and hand off responsibility from the apostles to the elders. So you'll see as we go through, there's a number of verses that we go through that the apostles and elders are actually mentioned together. And this is one of those. Acts chapter 15, verses 4 through 6. "When they arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who had believed stood up saying, 'It is necessary to circumcise them and to direct them to observe the law of Moses.' The apostles and the elders came together to look into this matter." Again, in these three verses here, we see twice the elders is in the plural. And the church is in the singular. They received by the church, the apostles and the elders, and again in verse 6, the elders. Chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own, company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders, the brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch, in Syria, in Cilicia. Again, two different times we see the elders are used in the plural form. Not singular, but plural. Acts chapter 16, verse 4. Now while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. Again, we see elders is plural, and you can see that highlighted on the screen. Skip over four chapters to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. You might say, you know what, we've been to this passage before. We did, but we didn't emphasize what we're emphasizing today. You're going to see that many times as we go through this. We're looking at these same of these verses, but we're emphasizing something a bit different. Acts chapter 20, verse 17 says, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus. That's Paul, sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. Here again we see plural elders, and the church is singular. One church with multiple elders. Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 30. This is the same group of men that he asked to come. This is later on, and he is addressing these same elders. Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 30. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Here we have the word overseers. Again, it's a word that's synonymous with elder. And it's in the plural, overseers. But you'll see the word flock is in the singular in both instances in this passage. Acts chapter 21. Hang with me, folks. We're coming to a conclusion in a bit. Acts chapter 21, verses 17 and 18. It says, after we arrived in Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. Again, plural form of elder is here. Elders. Philippians. Let's move on to the book of Philippians. This is the only place in Scripture that elders, deacons, and the congregation are mentioned. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. Here we go. We got the congregation, the plural form of overseers and deacons. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. Here we don't see the term overseer or the term elder, but they're talking about those who are in leadership, and they're done in the plural. Look at this here. The word those, the word them, the word there. It's not singular, it's plural each time, and it's talking about those who diligently labor among you, who have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. It's in the plural. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Timothy 5, 17. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. And so here we have a group of elders in a church, and there are some of them in this situation, in this church, some of them actually do the preaching and the teaching. Some of the elders don't. But of that group of elders, and again, it's in the plural, you'll see that. They're worthy of double honor. We covered that when we went through 1 Timothy. In Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Titus 1, 5. We'll be getting to this book next year, but we're getting to it now. In Titus chapter 1, verse 5, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you." Again, the plural form of elder is here, elders. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. It says, "Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith." Again, the word elder or overseer is not there, but it's talking about the leaders of the church who spoke the word God to you. That's the ones that you need to. And every time it talks about them, it was in the plural. Those, there, and there. It's in the plural form. It doesn't say remember him who led you. It remember those who led you or the one who led you. It's the plural. Remember those. Hebrews 13, verse 17, 10 verses down. It says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." Here we see the word leaders, them, they, those, and them, all in the plural form when talking of the leaders in the church. Let's go to James chapter 5. James 5, verse 14. "Is anyone sick among you? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Here we are, we see the word elders, again, in the plural form. The church, in the singular form. And they, in the plural form, again, speaking of the elders. One last one, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock." Here again, we see the word elders is plural. "I exhort the elders among you." The word flock is in the singular. Examples, as the elders are to be examples, again, the plural form, and flock, again, in the singular form. Scripture never refers to just one elder. Never. We have looked at 17 different passages. Every time it was in the plural form. The only time you will see elder or oversee in the singular form is right here when Peter refers to himself. You see that there? "Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder." It's in the singular form. It shows up there, and it shows up in the qualifications of an elder or an overseer in 1 Timothy chapter 3. It talks about a singular form there. But when speaking of the local church, it speaks of the church or the flock in the singular, and it talks about the elder in the plural every time Scripture speaks of elders. Thank you for going with me through this little Bible study that we did this morning, because I think it's important that we have a foundation as we go forward, because one of the things that this church is desiring to do is to follow the Word of God and structure our church after the Word of God. And one of the things that we are looking to do is to transition to a leadership structure in which we have a plurality of elders established and appointed in the church here at El Frida Baptist. But now I want to move on to the second part and the real reason of the message, and that is, what is the benefits of having a plurality of elders? Is there a good reason for this other than Scripture refers to it? What are those? There is a number of things. I've come up with eight. I've read a lot, and I've got other guys' information on this. I've brought it together, and I've come up with eight different things. Six of theirs and two of mine. And we'll start off here with first. The first benefit of a plurality of elders is biblical accountability. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, a verse that we already looked at, in the ESV version, it says this: pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Our elders must carefully watch over themselves. But that's not the emphasis that's put on here. It's not speaking of individually, we need to watch, elders need to watch their own spiritual life. It really is talking about you need to pay careful attention to one another, to other elders. There's accountability there. Satan's first line of attack often in a local church is at the leadership. And since elders are sinners, they wrestle with this too. They wrestle with their sin. So elders need to encourage one another in their faithfulness to Christ. Together, elders hold one another accountable as they shepherd Christ's flock. But not only does it encourage accountability, but it also encourages biblical faithfulness. See, godly elders are a great way of holding the teaching. The elder who does the teaching, I might say, accountable to live, to teach, and to be faithful. I'll tell you right now, if I teach something in error, or if I communicate something not clearly, I will be held accountable. Not in a bad way, in a great way. We have Bible guys. Many of you know we meet every Monday night. The first thing that happens in Bible guys is whoever speaks on Sunday is what we call in the hot seat on Monday. Because the message will be critiqued. Things that we say, was it clear? Was there something that could have been emphasized better? We do that. It's not because we get joy out of it. No, because we want what we communicate, we want it to be clear. And you know what happens? Often something isn't clear. Or there's a question about what was said. And you don't even know this, but when a review goes on and the next time, something is clarified. It happened today. You didn't know it. Because our goal is that we teach truth, we communicate truth over and over, and that's part of this biblical faithfulness. The second point of the benefit of a plurality of elders is balance, or the complement of gifts. No one man has all the gifts necessary to build up a local church. They just don't have it. Having a plurality of elders serves the church by bringing men with different gifts into the church's leadership who can complement and help each other. It also balances pastoral weakness. As we mentioned, no one man has all the gifts to be able to do what needs to be done in ministry, to do it well. There are weaknesses in every leader's life because leaders are human. And we need other people to balance out our all-too-human deficiencies. You see, when leaders surround themselves with godly men whose gifts and abilities, their passions, their desires, their want for truthfulness, you end up with a more well-rounded leadership for the people to follow. So not only do we have biblical accountability, not only do we have balance, thirdly, we have burden sharing. God never intended for one man to carry the burdens by himself. Even the most faithful, the most gifted leaders need help from other godly men in order to pay careful attention to himself and all the flock. Again, Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. You know what? If a leader does not have others around him to share the burden, he could easily and quickly burn out. But not only does it help in the burden sharing, but it also diffuses congregational criticism. Under the single pastor, multiple deacon model, the pastor often takes the brunt of criticism, and he does that alone. Tough decisions can be misperceived. Motives can be misconstrued. Before too long, the pastor becomes the target of all the critical remarks because he is the one they think is making all the decisions. And he's the one who's casting the final vote. And truthfully, he often is. But within a plurality of elders, however, leadership is shared with a group of elders who have been recognized, they have been affirmed by the local congregation. And this provision alleviates the pastor of being isolated and carrying the burden alone, because the leadership and the decision-making responsibility is done by a group of men and shared among the group. And so the group of elders can take both the responsibility and the criticism that come together. Also, the congregation will be more likely to follow or willing to follow the tough decisions of the elders than to follow one made alone by a single pastor. So some of the criticism can actually be simplified or decreased because it's done by a group of men. Fourthly, it sets an example for the church. Having a plurality of elders demonstrates that the work of the ministry is not reserved for a select few. Rather, it provides an example of maturity for every man, particularly when some of the elders are men who work ordinary jobs and are not paid by the church. Fifthly, elders prevent a cult of personality. With one man in charge in a church, he can easily become the center of attention. Everything that happens in church life, it's centered around what the pastor does or what the pastor wants or what the pastor. He's the one that everybody looks to for help. He's the one that everybody looks to for inspiration. And his will quickly becomes the will of the church. And the personality of the leader is reflected in the personality of the church. Have you ever seen when a pastor leaves a church that some of the followers don't ever come back to church? That is called the cult of personality. And that's happened in this church many times. I can think of many, when a pastor left, people also didn't return. But when the church is led by elders, they share the ministry. The authority is not in one man, it is shared with others. And the church becomes more well-rounded and equipped as a result. It also, in the same idea of the cult of personality, it reduces the possibility of us versus him. When disagreements happen within the church between a pastor and the congregation regarding the direction of the church or decisions that need to be made or something like that, it's very possible that there's an us versus him mentality that crops up. Again, this can make the pastor feel very, very isolated. It can also breed adversarial attitudes between the congregation and the pastor. And the plurality of leaders or of elders relieves the isolation of the pastor. And it might even prevent this type of thing of ever coming up. The plurality of elders can go a long ways towards preventing an us versus him scenario. Number six, it indigenizes leadership. Nice word, isn't it? What it actually means is it roots leadership in non-staff members. It's important because the congregation needs to be able to function, needs to be able to continue. If something were to happen where the paid staff elder leaves or can no longer function as the teaching elder. The last thing that anybody ever wants to do is that when the one paid staff elder in a church or a pastor of a church moves on, the church falls apart. But if you indigenize the leadership in a group of elders, it will prevent that. The leadership must be rooted in non-staff members. The best, most biblical way to do that is to incorporate a structure of leadership based on the plurality of elders, which the non-staff elders actually outnumber the staff elders in a church. Number 7, and this is the area of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14 and chapter 11, verse 14, and chapter 24, verse 6, talks about the multitude of counselors. Proverbs 11, 14 says, "Where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory." Chapter 24, verse 6 says, "For by wise guidance you will wage war, and in abundance of counselors, there is victory." Not only is there the multitude of counselors, but there's wise counsel. Being in church leadership requires making a lot of decisions. A lot of leadership decisions. Choosing what's the next sermon series we're going to be teaching, or what's going to be taught in Sunday school, or children's church, or choosing from what ministries our church will have to how do we carry these out, or from choosing which counseling advice to give to operating underneath the church budget. There are tons of decisions that are required. And hearing other perspectives and having other input, thoughts and advice from other fellow elders, it's incredibly valuable to making wise decisions. And I also believe that you will make more godly decisions. Have you ever been in an emotionally charged situation where you had to decide what to do and you had to decide now? Years ago, one of our boys came home from school. Came home from school and he told us that another kid, this is serious, another kid had threatened to kill him. You know what I said? "Oh, that's nice." "No, I didn't. My emotions were bouncing off this wall and that wall. My head was hit. It's like, I was like, I couldn't think straight. I didn't know what to do. Jackie and I were talking. I was so grateful to have Jackie. We were talking. We still didn't know what to do. And I called a friend of mine. His name's Brad. He lives in Idaho. And Brad is an ex-policeman. I said, "Brad, this is the situation that we're in." Brad was totally removed from what was going on. He wasn't facing the emotions that we were facing. And he gave us advice that we could act on to protect our son and to see what next had to happen. But he was outside the situation. And so often it is in the church leadership, something will come up where there is a decision that needs to be made. And when there's a group of elders and some of them are not emotionally involved in whatever that situation, what better advice can be given to the person who has to make it and to answer right then and right now? I believe you can make more godly decisions with a plurality of elders. With one leader, it's so easy to be influenced by feelings. So easy to be influenced by history when making a decision. How much better when there's a group of elders or leaders that come together who are not so closely involved in what's going on to help make an unclouded decision. And also, it enables corrective discipline. Without corrective discipline, the church has no way to protect its purity and its witness to the community when members fall into sin. To administer corrective to church discipline without the plurality of elders is far more difficult. Performing corrective church discipline requires a leadership structure that won't buckle under the spiritual or relational pressures of the process. Think with me for a minute of disciplining your kids. Last night, you and your spouse had this discussion about how we need to be more consistent, and when they do this, we are going to administer discipline. And so both of you are sitting in this room, your child comes in and does the very thing that you talked about the night before. And you look at each other, and one of you two are going to hold each other accountable, and that kid will be disciplined. Or think about the other thing is that you maybe talked about it, but you're by yourself. You're tired, the kid's hungry, you're hungry. And then that happens and you think, I'll let it go. Because he's hungry, I'm not going to deal with it. Could be a her. We had a lot of he's. But we'll just let that one go. But when you have a plurality of elders in a church situation, what better way to administer church discipline when there is a group of men holding each other accountable for the sake of the church? Another thing that's really important in this area of wisdom is decision making. Acts chapter 15, verses 4 through 6, which we already read. When decision making needs to come, look what happened in this situation. Think of it from decision making as we read this. When they arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who had believed stood up saying, "It's necessary to circumcise them and to direct them to observe the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders came together to look into this matter. And so when they had to make a decision, they got together and they could make a decision that was God-honoring. I think the area of wisdom is huge. And lastly, the last point, number 8, is the plurality of elders imitates the Godhead. You see, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. For all of eternity, they have been in conversation with each other. For all of eternity, they have been in communion with each other. For all of eternity, they have been in agreement with each other. For all of eternity, they have been in unity with each other. And God has patterned the leadership of the church after the Godhead. It's interesting, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God." The word God there is Elohim. Elohim is in the plural form. Do you realize that there is, in Hebrew, there is singular, there is dual, and then there's plural. Plural means three or more. And God in the Godhead is plural. I'm not saying that there needs to be three elders and only three. That's not the point. I'm just saying that God patterned the leadership of the church after the Godhead, that there is multiple to accomplish the work of the church. See, God never intended for the church leadership to be a solo act. Never. But that a group of qualified leaders, elders, would lead the local church. I think we have clearly seen as we went through the Bible study together that there is biblical proof for plurality of elders in a local church. And we've gone through and we've seen the benefits of it, from biblical accountability to balance to burden sharing, how we set an example in the church. Elders prevent the cult of personality, indigenizes leadership, wisdom, and it imitates the Godhead. I'm convinced, without a shadow of a doubt, God intends for a plurality of elders to lead a local church spiritually. And that's what Elfrida Baptist Church intends to do. Praise God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we can study it, we can go through it, we can learn. And Lord, I just thank you that the heart of this church wants to follow your word. Might be difficult to change some things, might be difficult, but Lord, our heart's desire is to line up this church after your word. What a privilege it is to look at your word and to follow it. We thank you for being a gracious God who loves us and cares for us. We are so grateful for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 states that a cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. It's not easily broken. Today we have seen the biblical proof that God's design for the local church is to have a plurality of elders lead the flock. We've also seen the many benefits of God's design. I trust you are excited, along with me, as we transition to an elder-led church, which is God's design, and we do this for God's glory. Go and have a great week. Barring the rapture, we will meet next Sunday. Have a great week. Thank you so much.